Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus. Well, we believe for it. I believe for it. I pray that wherever you're at, that is whatever it is, that it may be an obstacle that is standing before you, and it may seem like it's very big right now. It may even feel like that it is surrounding you right now, but I encourage you, my sister and my brother, to go ahead and step out on God's word and keep talking to him about whatever it looks like is so big, and watch him take that thing down to the size that you can stand on top of it. Put your foot on its neck. You've got to believe for it, though. You've got to believe for it. And we always start the program with something that encourages you, because that's what we have been called here to do, to encourage each other. Amen? I am my sister's keeper. And so I want you, sometimes we have to play a song and get it in our spirit, because we can talk to our friends or our associates, and they start to wear us down with negativity, but the word of God lasts forever. And so I want you to make sure that you believe for it. Amen? All right, all right, all right. I am the host tonight. I am Minister Vaughn Dumas. I am out of sunny San Antonio, Texas. I am so excited about tonight. I'm always excited right when I come before you. Is that correct? Amen, amen. So we are the Tri-Anointed Women of Christ. And again, and this triangle, God has put some powerful people to stand in place and to encourage each other, to build each other up, to lift us up. And so I'm going to, without further ado, let's go ahead and get started. I want to invite you, first of all, to just take a moment and just relax. Whatever it is that the day may have piled on top of you, even during the week, you may have heard so many things that's coming from the left and the right, and it just may be some family issues, and I understand they are real issues. I'm not saying that it's not. Those things are real. Those things may really did happen, but they don't have to take control of you, and you don't have to wear that shame. You don't have to wear that guilt. You don't have to walk around in a coat or clothing of fear. And this is your time that you can woosah. You can just relax. You can just let it go. And I want you to just open your spirit up and ask God to just deliver into you whatever it is that he has in his plans for each and every one of you individually. Yours may be look different from mine. But I want us to be able to just receive all that God has for us. And so we just take a moment just to do that. If we can just start with a prayer, and then we'll get started with our introductions, and we'll move right into the show. I want you to know that the chat room is open. You can call in at 516-666-8431. Tell your friend, tell your neighbor, post it on social media. I also want to remind you, if you missed it today, it's not over. You can always come back and listen to the broadcast over and over again. Get it deep down in your spirit, okay? And then you can also, if you don't want to speak or call in, you can go on your computer. If you just go to blogtalkradio.com/Vaughn, V-O-N, Dumas, D-U-M-E-S, and you can come right on in here and have a seat at the table and look at and in the chat room, and you can voice whatever you want to say. Someone is in there for you also, okay? All right. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer. Lift our spirits up to the Father God, okay? We thank you, dear Father, for another day that you have prepared for us. Hallelujah. Just like the loved ones prepare meals, dear Father, for the family, you have prepared our plans for each and every one of us individually. And so we come and we just sit with you today. We invite you, dear Father, to just come and just do whatever it is that you would want done today. Say what you need to be heard today. Use us as willing vessels. You said if we open our mouths, you would fill it. And so we ask that you fill it, dear Father, with the precious love that only you can. Someone is looking for your deliverance. Someone needs your touch. They need to hear from you today. May we fade away and may you just increase every home. You know the needs. You know the prayer requests, even before they're spoken. And so we thank you, Jesus, for what you put in our hearts and minds to do, that we're being obedient daughters and sons, and we walk in your glory and your peace. Dear Father, we ask special blessings over my co-host and special blessings, dear Father, over our special guest ministry. And anything that is poured out here tonight, we're covered with the blood of Jesus. It is covered, dear Father, so no demonic weapon can come against us. Will prosper in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Refill her up with all that she puts out, with your love, with your glory, for what you have set her out to do to make a difference in this world. Hallelujah. As we occupy this land, may we occupy with your love and your joy as we spread wherever we go. And so we give you all the praise and the glory in the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless, God bless, God bless. Amen. Well, as promised, I do say that we have my other co-partner. I do have two co-hosts for the Try Anointed Women in Christ, and one of them is going to be Minister Sharonda Wickerson. And then my other one that is live here with me tonight is going to be my sister Lolita Knox. And so she's going to come, and we have our special guest, and we're just going to get started. I'm going to let Lolita just say a few words there, and then we will go ahead and get the guest introduced. And for everyone who is on the lines, God bless you. God bless you. Continue to call in, go to the chat rooms. If we run out of open lines, call back in, try again, or come to the chat room. But you're welcome here to sit down at the table of talk, turning the tables with talk, and let's just open up. There's no fear, there's no guilt, there's no shame. We can just be, let God use us. Sister Knox, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Sister Vaughn. How are you doing? I just first want to thank God for this opportunity.
Yes.
I thank him for allowing me to co-host labor with you. And I appreciate that he has faith in knowing that I will show up and that he will show out.
Amen.
So, now that we found a quiet place, and some of us may be sitting, some may be kneeling, or maybe even opening our arms up reverence for the Creator. If we do that, let us not worry, not fear, and just let God speak to us and be the receiving vessels for tonight. This is going to be an exciting time that we're going to have on tonight, and we just pray God's blessings and speed over this.
Amen, amen. You know, all week long, it's just been a lot of different things that God has just shown me. Not just about tonight, but like I said, we've been kind of doing this for a lot of years, but it's something special about this go-around. It's something special about it. And so I just, all week long, God has put people in my pathway that for some reason is something that is heavy on their heart. I've even had one female came to me, and I made some of the flyers up and passed them out about tonight, and one came to me and said, well, Minister Vaughn, I just wanted to tell you, I can't come on your show tonight. She's, now, you know, I've been in the past, but I can't participate tonight. And I said, why is that? And I could already feel the pressure on her, and she just came out straight. She said, oh, no, because, no, I am a victim of all of that you're going to be talking about. And she said, I don't dare utter those words out of my mouth. I don't talk about it. You know, I'm hiding. I'm not. I said, you know what? I can understand that. I said, but I'm going to pray that those strongholds be broken, whether you're there or not, that those strongholds be broken. She said, I don't really consider them strongholds. I just push that stuff behind me. And, you know, sister, I think that that's what happens with us a lot in life. We start to push stuff behind us. We start to pretend like it didn't bother me. We pretend like it's not there. And so that's why so many subjects are so quiet, and or we pull the rug over it. You know, oh, that stays in the family. You don't go outside of that. And so I have been praying all week for different ones because of some things that they have said that they're going through. So I just can't wait to just jump and dive into it. So I'm going to let you speak, and then I'm going to let you go ahead and do with your introduction, and let's get started.
Amen, amen. We have an awesome woman of God for tonight that will be pouring out what God has poured into her. I've been knowing her for around 13 years. She's the founder of Restoration Ministry. It was established a long time ago, and she dares for us to give her any titles or give her any don't even worry about titles. She has the ministry and has the yearning for women or men that have been domestic, been abused, or even women of the night, and we're just saying women of the night because that's what they normally come out sometimes in the day. She has a passion for people that don't know their worth, and she goes by Minister Beverly Crenshaw, but she says she preferred to just be truly a woman of God. She has no boundaries, no limits. Or whatever God anoints her to do, she will carry it out. She's truly a fisherman for men. And that was the most important thing about her that, as I've been knowing her, that I've noticed that she loves God's people. And so with further ado, Minister Vaughn, do you have anything else?
No, go ahead.
Great. Then we'll just have Minister Crenshaw. Are you on the line?
Yes, 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 Lord.
Great. Great. We're so glad to have you.
Bless the Lord. I'm telling you, I've just been thanking God for the opportunity to meet you all in this manner. You know, I wake up every morning looking for God's great expectations. And I don't know where they're coming from, and I had no idea that my sister Lolita was going to call and request this from me. But, you know, I wake up, and wherever God want me to plant my feet and want me to go and open my big mouth, I'm ready to do it. Because one thing I know is the Holy Ghost. If you open your mouth, the Holy Ghost will fill it up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, yeah.
And I'm the woman of God that I have. I tell you all, be patient with me, because once I started opening my mouth up and the Holy Ghost started leading and guiding me, sometimes I don't know where I am, and I might not know how to stop, but you guys, you all know how to stop me. Amen. Praise God. I just give honor to God tonight, and, you know, I just bless the Lord at all times, and his praises. Yes. Shall always be in my mouth. And Father God, I thank God that my soul does make a boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear and be glad thereof. And when I say, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together, I praise God for that particular scripture, because I cannot praise God by myself, neither do I desire. I want you all to praise God with me, because the word said, let us. So I had to be in a congregation of people that feel like I feel about God, to give him praise, give him glory, magnify, glorify his wonderful name. So I bless God for this ministry. Walk with me, God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Walk with me, God, ministry. This is my first time. And I have been around a lot of ministries. I have shared in different ministries. I have been up and down the road with different, been up and down with different ministries, but I have never heard this name before. Ain't God good? And I just praise God that I'm able to be on this line and speak with you and share with you about domestic violence. Amen. And for that young lady that you were sharing about earlier, Minister Vaughn, you know, I know where she is, and I also understand where she is. I know that she don't understand where she's going. It's because she's still looking through a mirror of darkness. And so I just believe that God has just given me the grace to be transparent, and he has given me set times that he allowed me to be in the presence of women, and not just women, because most of the women I deal with have children. So it's women, children, and some men. But I just know that God, I believe and I pray that God will let her find and look for a place or look for a need for help, a need to change. And if she just go to God and talk to God about it, I'm telling you, God will make a way. He did it for me. He did it for me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, right when you even at the point of death where your mind is all settled up that I'm just going to take a leap out of this old world, God will send a ministering angel. I'm telling you. And I just bless God. On tonight, they want me to share about domestic violence, but before I start, let me open up in prayer.
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, just to see your goodness in the land of the living. Father, I thank you. We ask you, Father God, that on this day that you forgive us of anything that we've done, said, or thought about that was unpleasing to you. Father, you are the only true and living God, the creator of all life in the earth. There is nothing that you have withheld from us. Your loving kindness has kept the evil one from within our dwelling. You have watched over us and watched over our children and our family, sustained us and held us up in your hands. Father, we thank you. Thank you for restoring the years that the cankerworm, the locust, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm came in and ate away our life. Oh, God, we thank you. Father, we thank you, God, for binding up broken hearts, God, and bringing our beauty out of the ashes of darkness, Father God. Thank you, Father, that your righteousness have allowed us to proclaim your victory, that in you we live and have our being, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for releasing us from past darkness, oh God, for you, our God, you are our God, and you promise to comfort us, those that mourn, to crown us with beauty and the oil of joy. Hallelujah, and the garment of praise. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you have turned all of our despair into rejoicing, God, in the name of Jesus. We put all our trust in you, and we believe in the promises of your hope, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your greatness and your faithfulness, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes. Christine, before you get started, let's just, I just want the people that are on the line, our brothers and sisters, to know that you're not just only a woman filled with the anointing and the Holy Ghost that God has placed in your spirit, but you are a licensed counselor and a domestic violence counselor, and you're an advocate for women, for a women's ministry mentor, so that they know that they're in good hands, because you're both Holy Ghost filled and also you are our licensed counselor.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
So with
I'm a licensed Christian counselor. I am also an advocate for domestic and rape victims and a court appointed counselor that goes in when they need me. And I help relocate them in certain situations when it's too bad in the state of Tennessee or where I come from. I work with the coalition, national coalition, and we just make sure that we move them from the elements of danger.
Okay. And you're here, located here in Nashville, Tennessee, correct?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee, in Old Hickory, Tennessee, and I just love this beautiful city. My husband and I, we moved here. We relocated here back in 2006 after we both retired. You know, you raise your children to get up and move and go and do some things and leave home. But it seemed like our children just went leave home. So we thought about that. It's time for us to leave, you know. So we left and we came here. A few years later, four of them did follow us. And so we just bless God for every one of them. God has blessed us with six girls and two sons and 33 grands and six great-grands. And I just tell you, God is incredibly good. I think he made us better people when we got those grands and great-grands. So we just thank God. I'm so good. Sister Vaughn and Sister Lolita and Sister Sharonda, if you're here, sweetie, I just thank God for you tri-anointed women of God. Hallelujah. It's nothing like women connected with one another, particularly, and I'm not a prejudiced woman, but particularly us colored, us pecan tan, us black women, whatever lightness we want to be. Amen. Because sometime I found out down through the years, you know, just working with women and being a woman myself, it just seemed like the enemy really seemed like he tried for us to struggle with being each other's keeper, with being there for one another, you know, for being friends through thick and thin. I look at my relationship with all of my sisters. I have still five sisters alive, but the spiritual women of God that God has given me down through the years, we're sisters now, because some of us have been in relationship as friends of 48 years. And they're my sisters, and I'm telling you, some of us was in the world together, so some of us now are great leaders in church, you know, in the Christian fellowship, and I just tell you, it was nine of us, and I'm not saying that we had everything was good in all of our relationships, but we had a boundary that we never crossed. And that boundary was never talk to the guy that was talking to that one. And we never crossed the boundaries of forsaking one another. So we stayed with each other, good, bad, and ugly. And I always say that they're more friends to me than I am to them. And that's only because I like being the person that's there when you need me. I have never been that type of friend that's going to talk to them on the phone every day or every time they go shopping, I got to go. I'm not that type of friend. I'm a sister, like, if you need me, because I realize the spirit of presence is so much in the spirit of presence that covers the telephone calls and covers going to the mall. You know, we travel together. We minister together up and down the highways and byways. But women of God, stay short, stay close to one another. It's just like a marriage to me. Let nothing separate you all. Nothing, nothing. Through thick and thin, to death do you part. That's how I look at my relationship with all my friends. It's like my marriage vows. God bless you all. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm a teacher. I just like sharing things.
Because our topic is domestic violence, let's just get right down to it. I have the first question to ask you. Why do you have such a passion for the women who don't know their worth? You know, where did it start? Did it start someone you knew or someone that was involved in it, or was it something that was real close to your family? How did the love for the domestic violence start?
Well, the Holy Ghost chose it in my life from a personal trauma in my life. Laying in my hospital bed, all bandaged up, and all I could do was see through the space of the bandage. But I could see this plant on my windowsill. I saw plants, but it was one particular plant that got my sight, and it was all dried up, and it was dead. But then it was a plant sitting next to it that was green, and the leaves was just so pretty. It looked like somebody had oiled the leaves down to me. And I just looked at it, and I could just, it was like a story being told in my ears. That's all I can, I'm not fabricating. It's like this voice was saying, look at those two plants. And when I looked, I was looking at the dead one. You really don't want to look at nothing dead, but then that pretty plant. And that's when the scripture out of Joel 2:25 came to me, where God said, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I have sent unto you. And ye shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord thy God, that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. I was crying through the bandages. I didn't know what that means. I didn't know where that came from. Been in church all my life, a preacher child. I never heard that scripture. I never really was in the Old Testament as much, but I don't remember ever hearing that scripture. But I know that when I started recovering, I started searching out those particular insects that was named, and I don't like insects. But when I looked at it, it gave me an illustration that when God, when those particular insects are released on a plant, like the dead plant I saw, the Word of God had gave me the wisdom that each one of them had a responsibility, and one works from the soil to destroy, you know, from our inward parts, you know. Then the other one worked from the stem, and that's from my heart, you know, how the enemy, so many things happen to you and your heart start to harden you. You just feel like you don't have no emotions left. And then the other one go toward the leaves, and it's just, he takes the beauty away and bring the shame to you. And the other one start to eat the bloom, the flower that'll come out, the beauty that'll come out in you, and you just feel so unworthy. You feel naked and ashamed. And so when I did that, that's how God gave me about women, and I went to study in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, when it said, and such was some of you, but we was all washed in the blood of God, and he sanctified it. So when I look at women like me, I was like that. I may have looked different. I may have done it a little different. The situations and the beatings and stabbings and shooting, all that was different in our own, in some of us. But we were all alike. We were all alike, and we are all still alike. And God just wants you to know that there is nothing you have to be ashamed of anymore. And when I got up out of that hospital, I found me a support group to go to with women like me, so I can walk out of that dark place. I don't know if any of you on the line have ever experienced darkness so deep that the more you try to walk out of it, seems like you're walking in deeper darkness till you cannot even see your hands in front of you. That's how strong the enemy try to choke you out. But God's word said, you shall live and not die.
Yes, yes.
So, Minister Crenshaw,
yes.
Are you saying that you were a victim of domestic violence? How did that start?
Ma'am.
And if you could tell us, share a little bit, how did it start and how did it end?
Well, you know, when you're young, well, first it started, I believe it started from the way I felt about myself, from being molested as a child by my mom's first husband. And, you know, I don't know if any of you have ever been any victims of child molestation, but the predators, what they say to you to get you and to hold you and imprison you and shut you down and shut your mouth. Mm-hmm. It's almost like family secrets. Don't tell nobody.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might have started when I was about 7. That's as far back as I can remember. But it happened up until I was 12. And it probably would have went on. But me and my sister was a little slow. She was just a little slow. And so the threat that he put upon me to continue letting him do what he do, it was either my mom was going to die, something bad was going to happen to her, or either he was going after my sister, which I knew was slow. So every time my mom went to the hospital to have a baby, I thought that he sent her to the hospital because I said something. I didn't know she was going to have a baby. I just knew she went to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
So I thought that the man had done something that put my mother in the hospital, but she brought a baby home. But what got it was when he was going after my sister, and I said, well, whatever you want to do it. Just don't bother my sister. So as a young teenager, you know, I just never thought much of myself. Like many victims, after you have been violated and someone have overridden your decision to be free to give her body up, it's like, you do a whole lot of inward damage to yourself and perception about who you are. So the first boy that came along when we got out of high school, I just married him. Just so I didn't have to deal, you know. It was all, I know he didn't love me or anything. It's just that I didn't want to be there anymore. And I knew he drank, but I didn't know what alcoholic was, you know. So the beatings got worse. Then when we got, when we became adults and going to church, half the time to go to church, my arm is fractured or I got a black eye. So, and I was ashamed to tell the church because I didn't want judgment to come. Back then the church was like, marry the church boy. So that's what you do. You marry the church boy. But they didn't know what the church boy was doing. I couldn't tell my brothers. Because I didn't want my brothers to go to jail.
Of course.
And I tell you, the thing that got me away was when his drinking, the alcohol and the drugs got so bad that he was, you know, when he was fighting me one day, he had knocked me out and left me in a pool of blood, and then he was going to hit my children. I got up with all the strength I could, pushed my children out the door, and said, run and go tell your grandmother. So then my family got involved. So that's how it started.
So, you know, that's a lot right there. I mean, let's just back up just a little bit here. You know, as women, we even look at movies. You know, I think we all know The Color Purple movie when Sophia, you know, so about all my life I've had to fight. And we can look at that and we can laugh, but that is real talk in so many households. And it can be the, like you said, your mother's first husband. It can be the uncles. It can be the older brothers. It comes from so many people that the community around you or the family around you, you know, just may not recognize it. I know another young lady who has gave me permission to speak a little bit, and her older brother was molesting her, and she actually ended up having a baby by her older brother. And so she just knew that when she just got tired, couldn't take any more, she would go to her family, and she just knew they would have her back. But in actuality, they turned against her because she wanted to tell. She wanted to speak on it. And they said no, you know, that would what they would do for him, and they would do they was only thinking about how he would be hurt in it. And let's just keep the pregnancy, no one knows who's by, let's just keep that a secret. And so she was carrying this in her life for, you know, 30 something years, you know, and just at the different holidays. You know, he was always invited. She didn't want him. She didn't want to be around that anymore. He never apologized because he didn't think he had anything to apologize for. Her dad used to tell her that's what men do. It wasn't anything personal, you know? And so when we started that, it's just really remarkable statistic-wise of how many grown women have those stories to tell that started as little girls. As little girls, sitting up on grandpa's knees, sitting up on some man, you know? I don't like to see little girls jumping up on men in their laps.
Me neither.
And things, because they're so innocent. So innocent, you know? And I can remember my first experience that I think someone tried to slip their hand or did slip their hand under my shirt, and it was a respected person that I actually loved. And it just shocked me. I think I was around 12, and I could not understand that why would he do this, you know? He had 11 wives. Why would he do this, you know? And I just never could look at him the same. And then the first time that I think that it was actually someone actually tried to rape me, I was just a couple years older. I was like 14. And this was definitely someone that was close to the house. They was in our home, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was just, and from there, it always triggered something that I, even my sister's boyfriends, used to behind their back try to talk to me. You know, different things like that, it would just get to the point that I would shut down to, I just felt like I couldn't trust any man. I couldn't trust any man. So let me just stand back. So me too, when I met someone that I thought, okay, you know, I think this is going to be the person, I married them too. I married them too. And so, Lolita, have you, as a little girl, can you remember any of your friends going through anything like that or anything similar?
No, but you know what? I think about some of my relatives, you know, especially my nieces, who spoke on, like, which is the same thing as domestic violence, date rape. You know, you go out with a gentleman and then you're thinking that you're secured and they're taking care of you, you're feeling comfortable, and you may go to his house afterwards or whatever, and then he thinks because you went to his house that he has, you know, it's given him the opportunity or he has free will to take advantage of them. So we dealt with that, and, you know, it made them put a guard around, like I said, maybe the best man that God has sent them, but it just they put this wall up, and then it was like hard for them to even break it down, and then even I think that they even turned to even lesbianism, you know, because they felt like more secure with the woman than they did being around a man. So it is something traumatized that will traumatize you. But we know that God can deliver and that God can do anything. Ms. Trisha, I have another question I want to ask you. How difficult, when you're in these situations, how difficult is it to leave the person or persons that is abusing you?
I'm glad you asked me that because so many times people have a myth about women in domestic violence. I thought so myself because I'm the oldest of 13, and I always had to fight. Most of my fights were not mine. They were family you know, sticking up for family. But I was a fighter. But only thing I can tell you for me and the share from the share from a lot of other women, it's about love that we have for our children that kind of like make us stay. It's like you don't want them to think. I mean, when they love their dad, they love their dad. And particularly when you got a, when you have daughters, the evil that comes up in them when you say something about their dad or something's going on. And no, it was a big fight. It's a big fight because people say a husband can't rape his wife. You know, that's the number one thing they'll say. And I'm like, that is a lie, because even though I had been molested at a child age, and then when I was about 27, I had got brutally attacked and raped again, and then here's my husband. Well, my husband before the brutal attack. And it's like they say you can't get raped by your own husband. It's so, no such thing, because your body belonged to him. In the Bible, it does say that our bodies belong to our husband, but it all, God always saying his word likewise. But it is belonging to him, the force, or the, he have to love us like he love himself. So anytime a man go against how God says for him to love his wife, that is not his body. That is not his body. Yeah. And so it was terrible. They say that we could fight them off. We can run off. You can run, you can do something. Well, a lot of women can't go nowhere because they don't have the money. I deal with that with domestic violence. A lot of women stay in it because they don't have a job and they don't have money. Some of them have jobs, but their husband comes on the job on payday and pick up the money. Or they stay close around them so they can't get away. They have no access to keys to go anywhere. A lot of them, they're dropped off and they're picked up. They think about their children, you know, those children. You know, some of the women that I have removed them from the home, the children is mad and angry at them because they don't, they're not at home in their own beds anymore. They're in shelters or they're in other people's homes. So then, because all through this domestic violence now, this man is making himself look good to his children, particularly when he's in the house and they're around the table eating, and he looked at the mom and he said, your mama this and your mama that. You know, he's making the children feel like everything that's wrong going on, this is your mother's fault.
Yeah. Wow.
And I know for a fact personally that children will sit there and say, you can go back to my daddy. You can stop this here. You can, my daddy can come back home if you let him, but you don't want to let him, so I hate you. So they begin to hate us because we won't stay with them. So the thing is, how difficult was it for me to get out? It was so difficult that when I went to court and when they locked him up, and I went to court, the judge that I was in front of, and he saw the way I looked, and he said, young lady, I'm going to do something for you, because he said, do you know what kind of power I have? I'm the judge. And I said, no, sir. Yeah. He said, I have the power that anything that I say and want to do concerning you in this piece of dirt, I can do it. That's what he told me. I didn't know what that judge was talking about. He said, you don't have to file no papers or anything. He said, today, this menace to society, you will never have to deal with him again. And a couple of months, I looked down and I got papers in the mail, and I was annulled, and I was free. But I didn't feel free. You know, when you've been in the cage for so long, you don't know what freedom is. You have to wait. So that's why I stayed in my support group, so I could have my balance. And that's why I try to keep a support group with the women that God has given me to help them out of the bondage.
Oh, so so good, so real, so real. And I know it's others that can identify with what we're speaking about here tonight. And I encourage you, if you're at that season in your life that you want to speak of it, you're more than welcome to come and I can unmute you to speak. However, I see in the chat room that there are others just saying, just let me listen, let me absorb, let me get this in. And somebody said that I'm just shedding tears just hearing this. It's like something breaking loose on the inside of me.
Hallelujah.
So, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 So awesome with that. And I just know that, you know, first of all, you know, God will always put somebody there, that judge, who could look, because I'm sure there were others that they knew what was going on. They may not knew the extent of what was going on in your household, but will see but don't see, you know. They will, his boys will probably, you know, say something but don't say anything, you know. But that judge said, no, I'm going to stop this right now. So thank
and
you, Jesus,
did.
For always around in the bush. And was, first of all, was he older than you? And then can you remember back the first time that he ever, but you say you knew that he didn't love you when you married him.
Yeah,
but
I knew.
We know what your reasons for marriage was. What do you think his reasons for marriage was?
I don't know. To this day, to me, a lot of times I think because this particularly goes out to a lot of women, what I'm going to say. Because
mm-hmm.
I was a victim of child molestation, there's a certain type of look that we have. And that look is like a mousy, like our head held down, you know, not really interactive with a lot of people, kind of like off to yourself, you know, not much to do, you know. And so I'm finding out that a lot of men with that sickness, they are attracted to women like that, especially if you have daughters. I didn't have daughters when we got married, but I'm saying if you happen to get involved with a man and you have daughters, they look at that being another opportunity. And so it'll start with you, but it'll end up with one of them. But I believe it was just the way I looked, the way I carried myself. I didn't look like much. I know I was crying. I just didn't look like much. And so I just, sometimes they think that those are the type of women that'll be quiet and won't say nothing to nobody, and they can pretty much do what they want, because he pretty much had his own other lifestyle outside of us. But was he older than me? Maybe about 3 years older, that's all. It's just that he had he had more street sense. I didn't have no street sense at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all kind of signs. I don't know. It's like,
and
I say, we wear the mask of shame. Women wear the mask of shame, but men wear sick and evil masks. And so sometimes women that have low self-esteem, they sometimes think that they can kind of like make that person feel better because they don't feel good about themselves. So if they get with somebody that with you know, you just can't see a lot of things when you got a lot of shame going on. Shame just really darkens your, you can't see anything besides shame, but you'll see a man that and treat you or act like he like you, but you look beyond that sick and that evil mask, and you don't think there's anything wrong. But that's how I look at it.
Yeah. And you hear the same stories. Go ahead.
I was wanted to ask, Mr. Crenshaw, have you rescued many that went back to the abusers after you've gotten away, and why would they go back to the abuser?
For so many reasons. Yes, I have, even here in Nashville. In domestic violence, Nashville is number 10 on the Richter scale. We are the largest state, particularly for women being murdered in domestic violence.
Wow.
This is a bad state when it comes to sex trafficking and domestic violence. The women will go back at least 7 times before they make up their mind. And that's after so many bones have been broken, you know, because they look like they don't have nowhere to go because family members have tried to get them away from their abuser, but they would turn against them and go back, you know, be driven back by a box of chocolate candy, you know, a date, seem like, you know, anything of draw them back, maybe because they didn't have transportation or didn't have enough food or whatever, but they go back at least 7 times, I know, here in Tennessee before they decide not to take another step back. And I have relocated about 10 women from this state completely. And I have even had to get a couple of family members put in jail because they would try to find out where they live because their parents live here, so they would stalk their parents or a family member. So I always let the family members know, if you ever hear from this person, if they bother you, call you, keep the calls, keep everything that's coming in. And sure. Mm. And the police department works very good with me. They're really good.
Well, that was my question. I was going to ask, because the state is such a high, and the, you know, because there's so much in that state going on, that was my next question. Is it the laws? Are we not convicting the men? Or, you know, if the woman goes down there and signs a restraining order, that's just kind of a piece of paper. If who, what's the next step after that restraining order to protect you?
After the restraining order, we do have safe houses and we have safety plans put in place. However, most of the time when the papers are presented, they have to show up at court. But if they don't show up, most of the time the guys say, oh, please, please, I won't do it. No, just please don't go down there. Don't go down. If they don't show up, then it's not presented. Mm-hmm. However, the state of Tennessee, they have changed that law because of so many deaths of women. Now it's the state of Tennessee now. It's just once the call is made, they're the ones that they have to be locked up for 72 hours, but they can't know where the women or children are at. Sometimes the man will know where the woman is at. If the children have a telephone, they call their father. You know, it's a lot goes on here in this state. And the laws, see, I came from New York, so the laws in New York State is completely different from Tennessee law. I had to change my license over to Tennessee laws, and I'm still trying to understand a lot of it. A lot of it, I just go to a lot of meetings and try to walk my way through or talk to the police officers that work in this field, that they're designated to this particular division, but it's really, really different. And in the black neighborhood, the police officers do not respond like they do in the Caucasian neighborhood. The Caucasian women shelters look and set up is completely different from our race of women. You know, they're in like very beautiful places. And then you have a lot of lawmakers. 70% of our police officers, they have violence, domestic violence calls, but a lot of it is swept under the rug. You know, and some of our
judges, that's very interesting.
The laws are so different here. It's like I have to choose my battles. I have to protect my family. So I choose my battles because I'm a person that, just like I go boldly before the throne of grace and to God, I do that once I get the knowledge of something. I have that same energy and charge. You know, you got to give me an answer why. And so sometimes, you know, people don't like for you to be that bold.
Right. Yeah. Wow. So that was my leading up to that. I was going to say being out there and being open sometimes as we as helpers, and it does make us vulnerable in a way too, because
it does.
Now you are the one who's trying to separate my family. You are the one who's trying to come in here and do something when she's willing to let it go, you know. So,
yes, wow.
Very good.
You know, before my husband had surgery, you know, all of my calls, he always go with me because I never know, you know, I don't, you know, if they call crying and they're in distress, I call the police officer and then I go, but he go with me, you know. And we did go on a scene one time where the guy, and Melita, I think you remember Brenda, right? Brenda that comes and visit with me sometimes?
Yes.
She was my first girl, and we did go on that scene where the guy, you know, had the gun pulling on her, and my husband stepped up and he said, if you pull that gun on her, you will never be able to fire another one. And he stepped back. So we took her in like a daughter. We brought her home with us until I found a safe place for her, and she got it. It took a while. It was a lot. The steps with her was a lot because it was other things going on. But to this day, she's now a Christian. She works, and she's doing good. She has not been around him for 10 years. And so I'm just thankful to God. That was my first case here in Tennessee.
Wow. So there is a lot, you know, that we have to talk about, and it's a lot of emojis going in, just shaking their heads, and a lot of things are people, emojis of throwing their hands up. And so I take that as a sign of surrendering. And so I just invite anyone to whatever it is. The load is too big for us to carry. I know a lot of the time the enemy likes to make us think like we are the only one going through something. We're the only one who's been through this. Only one been through that. And a lot of times in domestic violence, we want to, the opposite sex can beat you down or wear you down or emotionally or physically, just tear your spirit down that you feel like, or they've told you, no one else wants you. It's nothing, you know, this is it. You're going to be by yourself. Nobody else is. Or it's been situations where the men are, like you said, they have the finances. So they put you in this nice apartment, or they got you in this nice house, or you're driving this car and you try to leave and then you feel like you have nothing, but you're used to a lifestyle. And, you know, we have to go beyond that. And so you return because of the stuff, and nothing changes. Nothing ever changes. And then once we start to bring kids into that situation, I just can't imagine, you know, a mother's heart. And like you said, but that made you do something differently when he got ready to turn that anger and violence towards your kids. That's when you said, this is enough. Something else. It's got to stop there. But let's start by just speaking real briefly back to that young girl. Maybe you're older now, but that young girl inside of you is still got some fear. Like Sister Lolita said, it may have even turned you away from men to the point that now you're going to the opposite sex because of it. Because I do speak to a lot of people that or have turned to the to same sex because they were molested as little girls. All these things happened to them, so they have this or mental thing against men. So now they just act like, you know what, I'm never going to be, no one's going to do that to me again. So I know how to treat a woman. So they get into a relationship with a woman. So if you could just speak to that grown woman who's got that little girl inside of her who's still afraid, or maybe someone's little girl is still going through something. And that mother sometimes, I don't know if we kind of blind ourselves or some mothers just say, I don't believe you when you said that. I had a 12-year-old say her mom just didn't believe her. Her mom got mad at her. I think had somewhere to go. But just speak to those people for me.
First of all, to the little girl inside of each of us. I know that place because when I was a little girl and it was happening, I don't know if some of you all, when you were a little girl and bad things was happening to you, did it seem like you had an out-of-body experience and you was looking at yourself with the nasty stuff happening? That's what I would say. That's a nasty girl. And I would remove myself from the thought of what was going on with me because I always thought she was a nasty girl. And so I just removed myself from being her. And doing that, I know people don't believe you. I went through the same thing. My mom didn't believe me either because, you know, that was her husband. And this man, she never, you know, she loved him. She was a young girl when she married him. She was only 20 years old. And she married him, and he gave her everything. He was a good provider for her, things that she had never been accustomed to. And he was a deacon in the church, and he had money. You know, his money got him in a lot of places and positions. You know, that was her life. And she sent me to my grandmother. But my grandmother believed me immediately because she never liked him. So me and my sister went to go live with my grandmother. And I just carried that pain. You might be carrying the pain of mommy not believing you. My mommy, why wouldn't she believe me? What did he say to her that make her think that it's my fault? You know, you never know what they're saying to your mother, you know?
Yeah.
It was years went by when I was a young teenager when my mom and me laid in the bed and she was telling me the things, because they had broke up then, and she was telling me the things that he said. She said he used to tell me to watch out for you and your cousin, because, you know, Beverly, she could get pregnant, but he was covering himself. And I thank God that God did not let anything enter inside my body. Thank you. But there may be some of you that did get a child out of the situation. That I can't tell you how to look at that situation because I've never been through that. But I will tell you this, that you're still a virgin to God. My struggle was that I was damaged good and nobody wanted me. Nobody will accept me. And that's why I accepted the marriage that I did, because I stepped in that marriage believing that I was damaged good. Wow, but you're not damaged. You was made in the likeness and the image of God. And there's no greater love that he have for you that he sent his son here in the earth to give up his life to die so you can live a glorious life. I say to you, little girl, it's not your fault. And I can just see God just singing and blessing you and letting you know how much he loves you. And that in the sight of God, you've never been touched. Oh, glory, God, in the name of Jesus. In the presence of God, he has covered you with his wings. And the Bible says that the blood of Jesus blotted out everything. Hallelujah, Jesus. When I think of that word blotted, I think of when I used to go to bingo and they gave us these little things that you put on a number and it blots out the number. But you know what? that color would bleed through and you still could see the number. But when I think about the blood of Jesus, hallelujah,
yeah.
You can't see nothing when the blood covers it. Glory when the blood covers it, you can't see nothing. So
little girl,
that you're growing into a beautiful woman, and no matter what the enemy has whispered in your ears, and no matter what he has said to make you look at yourself in the wrong way or to look to an altered lifestyle for love. One thing I found out, I don't know, I've never been in that life, but one thing I can see in the Spirit of God, that you'll go through the same problems with the same sex that you do with the opposite sex. That evil is evil. And don't go there, because that's not where God wants you to go. He don't want that lifestyle for you. He said, choose you this day. Don't choose the enemy and his tactics of what he's trying to do to draw you away from God, to bring more shame on you. That's what it does. Every time you find another altar, the only alternative is God. Because he'll wipe out all the stains, and he'll make your life as pure gold. I don't remember half the stuff I don't remember the intensity of the stuff that I went through. But I have memory of what God want me to remember, just to be transparent with women and girls and children. And then God has given me a gift that I cannot explain to anybody. But I don't look at people just to be looking at them. I look to see if I see a bride with torn clothing on, a bride with a bride dress on with mud on it. When I look at a woman, I look to see if I see anything that will give me the indication that she's crying out for help. So that's what we need to do for each other. We need to look and see something that does not look right. Sometimes I can feel it so strong. I'll be at church. I watch ladies get up and go to church, and then I watch the men to see how they look. I watch everything. I watch children standing on the bus stop. So I started going out on the bus stop standing with kids because their parents wasn't there. You got to pay attention when you see a woman walking down the street with her head down on a telephone. It's not good for a woman to walk down the street on the telephone, walking, and not alert, not consciously alert, because that's how you get pulled in and dragged away. So I say to that little girl, you are beautifully and wonderfully made in the sight of God. And just know that you're beautiful. I don't care how many stains you got. I mean, I didn't think I was beautiful with these cuts and scars on my body, but God saved me for the man of God that's a blessing in our lives. I didn't have to worry about the scars, the wounds. He didn't care about that. All he cared about is loving me and the children and God.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Well, what was right there, Bon, did you want to take a little small break right there and maybe play another song? So, Mr. Chris, I'll get some water, refresh yourself, because we're going to do part two, and we're just ready for this.
Amen, amen. And I want us to listen to the words here. We may have heard this song over and over again, but I want you to, now that you've got your spirits open to receive this personally, okay? Amen, amen. Break every chain.
Come on, use your key.
Oh. His power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Come on, Timothy. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, oh, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain.
That's it, there is power.
There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, there is power
in the name,
in the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break,
break
every chain,
break every
chain. Come on, say it.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an arm.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. 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 Somebody's hearing something right now. You're hearing it not just from your outer ear, but somebody's hearing something in the spirit right now. Yeah, that's your chains that are breaking. They're falling. You're free. And I know you may not even know what to do with the freedom or where do I turn to. Like the speaker said, that sometimes we get so used to being caged up. How do you sing now? Where do you go? Where do you turn? Hallelujah. We're going to turn our eyes to Christ.
Yes,
look to the hills for which cometh our help. All of your help cometh from the Lord. And you have sisters. You have a family that is surrounding you. And if there's anything that we can do, you may need biblical literature. You may need us to pray with you and lead for where you need to set under, what leadership, whatever it is here. At Tri-Anointed Women of Christ, you can reach out to us. You can contact me, Von Dumas, at Walk With Me Guide, walkwithmeguide@aol.com. I keep it simple for you because I want you to ask him, invite him to come and walk with you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You can also leave a message here at the blog talk for either one of us, and one of the three will come back and get back with you. Amen. Amen. As
Amen.
Those chains began to break from your life. Sister Lolita. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for this restoration moment. And Mr. Crenshaw, the name of your ministry, the God birthed in you, is Restoration Ministry. And what is it about your ministry that is different from any other ministries? I love the name Restoration. We know that there we're being restored. And at this moment, we've already been down this journey of domestic violence. And now it's time for us, and the chains have been broken. It's time for us now to be restored. So with that
Come
name,
on now.
Ministry,
yes.
What is different about that ministry?
To me, it's a lot of ministries that adhere to women and children. They do. I believe that God gave them that initiative to do that. However, the name came to me out of pain, out of unforgiveness. And if you, when I got into that place of unforgiveness, and I can understand why you may choose to go to the same sex person, because you have so much hatred in your heart against the person that came against you. However, my hatred was different. I hated him, not them. I hated him. I hated him with everything inside of me. I remember laying in bed one night and was trying to think of a way to commit premeditated murder, just kill him while he's in his sleep. But then God let me think about my children, what would happen to my children, what would be told to them. You know, I didn't. It's so many things I wanted to do to him, but my children, just the thought of my children, I did not do it. But the hate remained there until I went to a revival service one night. And the man that was speaking, he told a story about his bad headache that he had to preach before God's people, but his head seemed like it was about to pop open. And he said he just sealed away in his office, and he sat down in the chair, and he said it was like big hands came down through the ceiling and snatched the headache away. And he said, that's just how powerful God's power is. Wherever you at, whoever you are in this building, whatever it is that has such a strong hold on you that you are immobile and you can't think right, you can't sleep right, you can't do right, I'm telling you, God's mighty hand will come through and snatch it out of you. When I was hearing that man, I heard him, like I pray that you all are hearing me, but hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying out of my mouth. I heard him to the point that I was mesmerized, that I started walking to the altar and then realized I was walking to the altar. And when I went up before the altar, the mothers of the church, they had their arms out, and they was waiting for me. It was like being in the bosom of my grandmother, where I could just go and lay in my grandmother's bosom, and everything would be all right. And they said, young lady, what do you want the Lord to take from you? Well, I wasn't saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, so that didn't come to my mind. All I knew is I wanted to stop hating. So when they asked me, I said, I just want to stop hating. God and the Holy Ghost is my witness. When I fell down on that floor and said, I just want to stop hating, immediately God took hate out of my heart. I felt him when he pulled it out of my heart. And I had to lay there. I could not move because it was so heavy. I could not move until God finished reestablishing and restoring my soul. And I laid there when I got up. Now, let me tell you, when you hate as bad as I hate, you can see hate. It has a color to it, and it has an odor to it. It was so powerful inside of me. It was like I was a murderer down in my soul. Now, you may not know that you are forgiven. You may not feel it. I didn't altogether feel it. I knew it. When I came in contact with my stepfather again, my mother's husband, and I saw him at my brother's wedding, well, he didn't know who I was, but I knew who he was. And that's one thing about a victim. You never forget. You never forget. And he was looking at me, and I knew he was looking at me. And he said, do I know you? And I said, sir. He said, whose child is you? And I stood flat-footed, bold, without fear. And I said, I'm the daughter of Pearl Rutland. He said, Pearl? He looked at me, and he said, which one are you? Now, see, the Lord, when he does something inside of you, he changes your looks. Hallelujah. The devil can't see you like he saw you.
Hallelujah.
He said, which one are you? I said, I'm Beverly, the oldest one. And he stood back, and he looked again. And I walked away. And when I walked away, I was holding my heart. I said, Father, thank you. I didn't know it was really done until I faced my enemy. So you
don't know what God
can do until you faced before your enemy again.
That is how I knew that
the way this ministry differs from other ministries is I teach the women. They can't go any further in their life. They can't be restored until they get forgiveness in their hearts. You have to forgive, as hard as it is. Because, see, my thing that held me up so many years was I thought if I forgave them, that means that what they did, they got away with it. And that no matter what, how many people I told, nobody wouldn't believe me because he was not prosecuted for it. I was waiting for something bad to happen to him for me to feel bad. But you got to walk through this life knowing no matter what the enemy does to you, it is not for them. It's for you. It's not for you. It's for them. Because if you want to be forgiven by God, you got to forgive them. And you'll know God has a set time that he'll set it up again, that you'll be face to face with your enemy and know that God took care of it, that he settled it. I'm telling you, people of God, just go to God. Know that God careth for you. Know that there is nothing that he won't withhold from you. know that you are the apple of God's eye. He didn't say mm-hmm. anybody else in the Word of God was the apple of his eye but you. The apple mm-hmm. of beautiful fruit. Red, shiny, red because we've been washed in the blood.
Yeah.
But you are a beautiful garment. And you're wearing a garment of praise because God has sanctified you. God has lifted you up. That is how I know that this ministry differs from others, because I make one-on-one point contact, and I care, and I listen, and I do not judge, and I do all that I can with all the means and resources that I have and I know of to make sure that you're safe, that you don't have to worry about it again. Even when you leave your homes, I have it set up in my garage where I collect all kind of things for women and children. Just know that there is somebody out there that care about you, but you have to care enough to care about yourself to make a change.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. That's beautiful. And we've got to. That is a lot of it. I want us to hear that, and I feel like we're at a position that we are willing to. That seed has been sown to somebody who may thought that I never will forgive that person, but it is. We move on when we can forgive. Hallelujah. She didn't even look like what she had been through. He couldn't even recognize which one of what it is he had to make sure. And sometimes we may be waiting on that person to say, I'm sorry. We may be waiting on them for the world to know, you know, the spotlight to shine on them to see, oh, yeah, they were guilty. That may not happen. It's not ours. Our position is being held back. We're being held back by whatever it is we're waiting for that shoe to drop, that they get what's coming to them. The vengeance is the Lord. This is what he says. So don't think that he's blinded or that he doesn't see it, but he is still has a plan written for you. And that plan, he's already signed his signature on it, that you will prosper. You will succeed. And, you know, sometimes when you get to another level, don't forget to reach back down like our sister is doing and pick somebody else up. Pick somebody else up. I have a friend, my granddaughter's friend. She's been really and truly, this girl has been going through something ever since I was like in the ninth grade. I don't know if you wanted to speak about that or not to my granddaughter, but I know that ever since about in the ninth grade, and this man has just been doing all kind of crazy stuff to her. And as they're 24 now, she has two kids. And when she was getting ready to have the first one, the abuse was still going on. Even the night that she was getting ready to go have the baby, some kind of way she ends up in the car with him. She has no shoes on. It's in the wintertime. And he puts her out on the side of the road. And, you know, and she's calling people, can you come and get me? And then it's just all kind of different things. Well, I'd heard about this guy forever and ever, like I said. But it so happened when this young guy came in and he had an interview with me. And I do charge back and fraud on credit cards and stuff like that, debit cards. Mm-hmm. And so he came in for an interview for a fraud analyst position. And the young man was a tall, big, strong, very strong-looking man. He wasn't the very most attractive guy, but he sat down before me, and he really just kind of almost took over the interview with – he knew so much about all of the regulations, E's and Z's and all of the things that I usually have to ask different questions, different ways to pull it out of somebody to know that they really have the knowledge that I need them to have for this position. Well, this man was really, he had it. He just had it going on. He spoke lovely of his mother. She had been ill. He had been talking about just how some of the things with her, and it was just exciting. I left out of the interview just excited. I really at that point knew that this was going to be my next analyst. I did eventually hire him. He came to work for me, and he was there. And I, here in San Antonio, you know, we are, of my skin color is a minority. So he was a man of color, and I was excited that I got somebody on the team that's a man of color. He's strong. And, you know, I kept saying, you know, as long as he's willing to learn, I continue to pour into him like I do with mm-hmm. others. But sometimes people only want to go so far. But I could see that he wanted to go all the way. And he wasn't on the job maybe 2 to 3 weeks before I noticed that he had a problem with any other female on this team that had anything to say to him or maybe tell him anything. He just, it just riled up something. It was just something in him that you could just see differently. But he was always mm-hmm. very respectful to me. I don't know if I reminded him of his mother or what, but everything was, all right, boss lady, and boss lady, I'm going to do this. Boss lady, is it okay for this? But he had an issue that we had to finally address because he seriously was going to a different person. And it just so happened that one day I was going through some different things, and I mentioned this young man to my granddaughter, and she said, describe him again. And I started to tell him about him, and she said, that's him. Who? And she gave me the name, and I said, no way. This is the man who had been beating her friend for all of these years. I mean, just tearing her eyes out, just doing all kind of crazy stuff to her. And so now I have to go back to work and sit and look at this man that's been so nice to me. If he's a few minutes late from a break or something, you know, he stops by my desk, you know, a boss lady, I just want to apologize that I was a few minutes late here or there, boss lady, just all kind of things. But I'm noticing any other, he got along fine with most of the men, most of them, but it was something about the women that flared up something with him. And then one day, mm-hmm. just out of nowhere, because I started to pray for him, he would talk about his children, not knowing that I know the mother of his children that he's speaking about. And somewhere just out of the way, he just, because I never put my granddaughter's pictures up nowhere because he would have recognized her. I didn't put anything up. But he just disappeared one day. He just disappeared. And I haven't heard from him since he quit the job. He just left. I don't know where he went. I don't know if he finally figured out who I was. I don't know what went down with that. But it's really something, the facade that we can put on. Now, he's still out here in the world, and I'm sure messing with other women too. And, you know, how he could probably draw them in with that, you know, miss, you know, all the saying the right things, but turn out to be such a wolf that would just be attacking a woman to a point that just could, at the very end of her life, she could just die. That just used to, every day I'd walk in there and look at him, I just could not, it was like, wow, that's just really something. And I used it as a tool just for my granddaughter. They knew that, hey, stay away from her when she's with him because that's bad news, but you know him, so you know he's bad news. But there's people out there that you're meeting every time that you go out that is just like him. You just don't see it yet. Just like him, and we just don't see it yet.
Yeah.
I'm a 61-year-old woman who is I never married after my divorce. And so, yeah, I attract a lot of different people. But you know what? I'm not in that season. So I handle them from a baby because I tell them, you don't know who it is. And because I tell you all the time, don't I, Tatiana, it doesn't matter that the man says, oh, I love God.
There's
so many different gods, first of all. You know what?
Right.
And if he's walking with Jesus Christ, he shouldn't have to tell you that. You should identify that in his life before he even opens his mouth.
Right.
That's how close he needs to be with God
right.
before he's ready to love you. And so I know, but either one of you, have you ever just saw anything like that, that somebody just appears one way and then they just, in another whole scenario, they're just totally different? I don't know why he respected me. Well, do you think it was a false respect? Eventually he would have turned on me too, or did I remind him of his mother, or we just never would know? Any comments?
It's because of your authority. It was because of your authority, your demeanor that you had. The other women, he was disrespectful to them because they looked like weakness to him. And sometimes they try to feel like some men are trying to work and keep plowing along until they get that woman that knows her authority or know her worth so they can break them. It's just like they say, like a stallion. Men like hopping up on horses and breaking them. If he would have, if you weren't the woman that you were and you didn't stay faith-based to what God had for you and you stayed in your place or in your lane as a woman that had authority, then he would have tried to break you. But he couldn't. He was angry at himself when he knew he couldn't do it to you, so he didn't know how to treat the other women in the office because they looked weak to him.
That
reminded him of the girl, the woman that had his children, weakness.
Yeah.
They were too easy. So it was a good thing on for you. But that because, look, in the beginning I didn't read about domestic violence or abuse and what it contains. It's an intimidating thing. It intimidates your partners and the behavior. In relationship is used to gain and maintain power and control of that person that they're with or in relationship with. They are abusive physically, sexually, emotionally, economic, and physically. And their actions are to threaten you and to influence any other person that you get next to. And the behaviors is they try to frighten you, keep you in fear, intimidate you, terrorize you, manipulate you, hurt you, humiliate you, blame, injure, wound, and yes, even kill you. Domestic violence have no limitations of who suffers, any race, any age, sexual orientation, religion, gender, rich, poor, married. Yes, even seniors. Seniors are violate or domestic violence or abuse come against them if they live in a nursing home.
Yeah,
they can be bad things can happen to them from family members, and family members could take advantage of them with material exploitation, their finances. They even lose their homes. They're neglected and abandoned. And then, yes, there's also physical abuse with them. I used to have to watch them come in the hospital. I know they couldn't fall all the time like that.
Yeah.
And dating and living together, all that stuff is abuse. But you have to know the signs. There are signs to know that you're in a dangerous, abusive relationship. Even while you're dating, you can see these signs. Especially, you know, like with our daughters. We told our daughters, if you can't bring that guy before me and your dad, then if he don't want to meet us, don't get with him no more. Because if they got a problem meeting your parents, that's a sign.
Amen.
Does your partner make you feel embarrassed in front of your friends and your family? Do they put you down? Which even the accomplishments, do they make you feel like you're unable to make decisions? Do they intimidate you or threaten you to gain compliances, to gain you doing what they said, tell you that you're nothing without them and you won't be nothing without them? threaten you in a rough way by grabbing, pushing, pinching, shoving, hitting you, popping you side the head, call you several times in the night and show up and make sure that what you said, you lied about it. So they call you a liar. Signs of someone using drugs and alcohol and makes excuses for saying hurtful things to you while abusing you. Blame you for how they feel and act. Now, I remember that one, particular one, I remember that I took the blame. I said, I must be doing something wrong because I'm praying, but he won't stop drinking and he won't stop doing the drugs. So I took the blame on myself that I had to been doing something wrong as a wife. Pressuring you sexually for things you aren't ready for. Trying to bring you into some sexual activities that you're not ready for. Make you feel like there is no way out of this relationship. No matter where you go, he will find you. And anybody get in his way, he will take care of them. Prevent you from doing things you want to do, like spending time with your family and friends. Don't want you to go nowhere. And keep calling you. Try to keep you from leaving after a fight or leave you somewhere after a fight to teach you a lesson. You ever got left at a restaurant and say walk home? Or open the door and push you out, kick you out the door, take their feet and kick you out the door? Yeah. Do you sometimes feel scared how your other significant behaves? Constantly make an excuse to other people about your partner's behavior. I've done that too. I learned how to lie to protect him. Mm-hmm. Believe that you can help your partner change if only you would change something about yourself. Been there too, done that too. It don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to do anything that would cause conflict or make your partner become angry. Been there too. Always do what your partner wants you to do instead of what you want to do. That's a real good one. Been there too. Stay with your partner because you are afraid of what your partner will do if you broke up. Yep. Those are just things to think about. Even when you're dating, there's signs. You know, when they keep calling you on the phone, you know. Don't never look if you're young lady, if you're out there and you're dating someone and they want to buy you a phone, don't accept it. Now
Amen.
They might get mad because you won't accept it, but they're purchasing that phone and giving it to you. And I don't know how you feel if somebody going to give you I don't know the newest phone going out. I think 11. I think it's that 11 number 11, but. You will be excited if somebody buy you that phone because it costs a lot of money. But don't get excited. God is not mocked. Because he's getting that phone to control your whereabouts. And the minute you do not answer that phone, you could be at your job doing something and you can't answer the phone. You could be something. But the minute you answer that phone, the first thing going to come out their mouth, what was you doing? Why didn't you answer the phone? Where was you at? Anybody there with you? Who are you talking? Oh, they just run a whole line down.
Yeah.
And you can't hardly work. You get nervous. You can't hardly go back to what you were doing because your mind is thinking about when he sees me, what's going to happen. Just be careful. You know, I'm married. God gave me another chance that I'm married to a great man of God. But I say, I know you should never say things, but I just say, if the good Lord take him before me, I'm all right by myself.
Amen.
I think you'll get in trouble in this world if you try. I don't even know all the games that people play.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I know the games that these men play on women. I know those games. Because I have suffered.
And then they go back and say, I'm sorry, you know, I'm never going to do this again. You know, don't leave me.
Yeah.
And, And yeah. And then those sexual things,
and
you
I
know,
love you.
If you really love me, you would do this with me sexually.
Yeah.
You would,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. None of you. Nobody, no woman, no child, no man, no one deserves to be abused.
Amen.
The abuse is not your fault. There is nothing you can do so bad to cause somebody to beat you and stomp you and kick you. There's nothing you can do that bad for someone to cause that much damage to your body mentally and physically and emotionally. And there's help out.
Go ahead, Ms. Trisha. I have a question, Ms. Crenshaw. I just want to end my part on this note. Do you have any, are there any organizations or communities that sponsor you or resources that you reach out to or that reach out to you in order to sponsor a restoration ministry?
Yes, I have Agape here in Tennessee. Agape, they're a shelter. They're a ministry that's been going on for years, but they partnership with me. Also, the other ministry that I just got involved with, well, they just got with me, Morning Star, which is located out of the Church of Christ here in Tennessee. And then I have other resources that I'm not in partnership with, but they are resources where I can direct you to with situations that you need to have taken care of.
Do you have the hotline or the number that if there's someone on our line and they feel like they just want to call in, do you have that number that you can that is available that you can give to us?
Here in Tennessee, the main number in the main place is a new place they just built here in Tennessee up on Murfreesboro Pike, and it's called Metro Domestic Violence. And I was going to send all of this to you and Minister Vaughn just in case someone want to know. And I was going to send it to you all. But it's Metro Domestic Violence Division, and it's located at 600 Murfreesboro Pike, phone number 615-880-3000. That's the main place here.
So if someone called that number and if they wanted to call
that number immediately,
that number would connect them to another, would give them another resource if they were in another state.
Oh yeah. Well, it's when they give them a counselor, they will get some advocate to work with them to work out, because we don't just move you. We have to really know the depths of your danger in Tennessee to move you, for you and your children.
I do want to just share something for a moment. I remember when I went to this camp in 2016. I went to a women's camp, and there we would have classes for 3 or 4 days, and we were there without TVs and telephones because they were really ministering to us in order to make sure that we were saved or we wanted to give our life to Christ or did we know Christ and had a relationship with Christ. One thing I want to plead with everyone on the line tonight is please make sure you know for sure that you are being violated and that your mind is made up and that you do know Christ. You know, when Mr. Crenshaw's ministry name is Restoration, that not only are we trying to restore you as far as physically, but spiritually, we also want to restore you. Introduce you to God, let you have a deeper relationship with God. Know that, you know, God loves you more than we could ever love you, and that he is your first redeemer. and that he will be the one that you can definitely count on when man isn't there and you feel like you're alone, to know that you are not alone, that he is there, and he will give you and provide a way out. So not only are we just, you're listening here to Minister Crenshaw as far as the ins and out of domestic violence, but also listen to her as she introduces Christ to you, and that, you know, you can be restored, renewed, and you too can take your journey and your testimony and also share it with others and even help others, because you're not the first, you're not the last, and you're definitely not the only one. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You got to believe for it. Know that those chains can be broken. And real quickly, I have someone that wants a question. In the 323 area code, your line is open. I see you have your hand up. Please feel free.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a ministry for domestic violence and rape. Yeah, pretty good. Since about 40% to 70% of domestic violence is done by women, how do you counsel the men? Because the men are certainly needed as well.
Amen.
Sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate your call, man of God. In my lifetime of counseling for 20 years or more, most of my counseling has been set toward women, not purposely and not in denial of a man. However, the men that have come to me, it took a long time. It was a long process because the shame of a man is different from a woman. And most of them come out of, it happened from prison. Some happened from a family member, you know, when they were young, and some happened in church. Mostly in the musician in the area, in the church, it happens a lot in the music part of the church. However, here in Tennessee, I haven't had any contact with men other than one person, but he never called me back. I think he was scared, you know. But
okay.
How I counsel them, if they want me to counsel them, it could be Zoom, it could be phone call. My name is Beverly Crenshaw, and you can reach me. They can reach me at 615-533-0975. My email address is restoration4life@msn.com. And I would be glad to help them uncover that shame that the demon brought on them.
Well, you were mentioning the differences between men and women. What would be the more significant differences in men having been battered by their wives as opposed to wives being battered by their husbands?
Well, to me, when a man, because I'm dealing with a family member like that, with a man, if his children involved, they love their children.
Mm-hmm.
And they love that woman, but for some reason, she keeps fighting. She keeps hitting. And I'm thankful to God that he hasn't retaliated back, because she got him in trouble one time. She fought him.
Mm-hmm.
But when the cops came, all they seen was her. So they arrested my grandson because it looked like she was hurt, and all he did was push her. But my grandson had the black eye and all that stuff. But he had to go down and sign up, and I felt so bad because I didn't raise him to put his hands on a woman. And his degree is in
that's a, well, that's
that
a shame did. Because, you know, even though I'm sure you're probably of the philosophy of violence begets violence, but if more women realize that if they get into the face of a man too often and too aggressively, or they put their hands on a man, if they knew that the man was going to knock her out, I can almost guarantee the amount of domestic violence would go down. But because women know that they can always go to the court system and always blame the man, and the man knows that as well, she feels free to do whatever she wants. I'm surprised that they have actually found domestic violence statistics to be 40% to 70%. I wouldn't be surprised if it was more when you take into consideration the kind of liberty that women have with regards to beating men and getting away with it.
That's true. It's so true, sir. I really feel for my brethren, because when you go to court, you don't have anyone to stand up for the man in there. And I can see where the abuse is coming from, but a lot of time in court, you know, it's just wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in going toward the woman. New York State, they check out the statistics of how many times that person has called. And then when they go out to the home, they watch. They are trained to watch and look at and see. And they normally can pick up from the way the children respond. But New York State is no joke with it. It's like they take care of the men, and when they don't just take a man off, they check it all out. You know, that's how they invest. But I see it.
I see it too.
In church.
No, you're right. I so agree.
Because I have no problem, you know, with anybody putting your hands on me. You get knocked out. You know, I'll face the court system, but I'm not going to face somebody who's going to pick up a hammer or a skillet or a knife and, you know, hit me, stab me, or do whatever. Now, there have been times when you see the indications and you get, you know, and you tell them to leave because the anger is getting a little bit too heated. But there are times when a man is in a situation where he can't leave and the woman won't let him leave and she doesn't want to leave. And you read about it, you see it on YouTube, you hear your friends, and you wonder, what the hell is going on in marriages nowadays? I don't think marriages work very well anymore.
Well, sir,
to
say to you, if you ever in that predicament, just man up and leave. Even if you have to go to a hotel.
If she doesn't let you leave, that's...
Well, you try to get out of there. You got to go to work, right?
If you can't, right? If she's not letting you leave and you've got to be physical with her, she wins.
No. Listen to me, sir. Do you have a job? Do you have to go to work, right? Sir,
do I have to
go? Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you
right.
have to go to work? When you go to work, don't come back.
No. Okay, here's what I'm saying. When you go to work, she's not there. She's not preventing you. Right? But if you're inside the house and she doesn't want you to leave, she's physically blocking the door, blocking the phone. You can't spout poetry to her. You've got to get past her in order to leave. But if she's not letting you, you've got to get physical with her.
You know something?
In the state of Tennessee, if you're in the state of Tennessee and you call me, that situation can be resolved. If you're in the state of Tennessee, I'm telling you, sir.
Okay, that's one state out of 50. And again, there are women who won't let a man get the phone without clawing the hands or trying to swipe the phone away.
Yeah.
And at the same time, men are conditioned, don't hurt the woman. Have you seen the video? You were talking about New York State. There was a video that came out about 2 years ago where there were some women who started a fight on the train. The guy... was resisting her, but every time she went to slap him and hit him and everything, he was resisting her. But all the people inside the train are saying, don't hit her, don't hit her, while at the same time she's swinging away at the poor guy. So that's the laws need to be changed. New York State's a good example, but we still have 49 others.
But you know, the thing is, sir, the laws will not change for you and all other men until you all start stepping up like the women did. It was years that went by that women have got to the place where they have got in this domestic violence and rape. But if men come forth, you know, the thing is men just won't speak up because they don't want their other peers to know that their woman or their girlfriend is beating them. And then they don't want nobody to know that they've been raped by another man. It's a lot of reasons. But it's that women got to the point that we just going to do what we got to do because it's like we couldn't take anymore. So when you get a group of men together to fight with you, to go to the law, the law can change, but it will not change if you remain silent. That is what kept us in prison. We remain silent.
Well, men have been speaking up. There's the organization for men, various organizations for men's rights, et cetera. But the courts don't listen, apparently.
Sir, if you know the story in the Bible about the two women, the two prostitutes, and the one prostitute baby died and. Yeah, but if you keep going, if you keep going to the king will respond.
Yeah. I just want to say real quickly here, if I can just jump in just for a moment here. When I was in a situation and I knew that it was time for me to leave, I started reaching out to different organizations, and they start telling me different things. Every day, do something different. Today, get your valuables out of the house and put them in the trunk of your car.
Right.
When you're inside of that house, always make sure you got a cell phone or something in some room that if they're blocking you that you can't get out one way, you can lock yourself in a room until you call the police or get some help some other kind of way. It was always little things they would tell me to prepare myself because I know if it happened once, it'll happen again. To get ready for these things to happen with the goal in mind, I'm eventually getting out of here. So one day when I did go to work, I didn't come back because I had everything a little bit at a time stored in my trunk. Because you're right, you don't deserve to have anyone abused. And that's what she was saying earlier. I know somebody right now. He is 6'7", and she's like 5'6". Something goes down.
Yeah.
She's all up in his chest. She's all over him. She's verbally abusive. Uh-huh. She's got all of this. But if something goes down, who's going to be the victim? Who do you think that you're right? They come in there, and the first person they look at is this big old man, this little bitty woman, because now she's not wailing this knife. But when the police come, now she's this little woman that, oh, look what he said. But you've got to be able to tell your story. And remove the shame. Tell your story, and it will eventually come to light. And I feel for you too, because I can understand that's not right. It's not.
It isn't. It isn't right.
The women weren't always heard either.
Yeah, they were. They weren't. But it's not completely solved. But something has changed with the women, and something will change with you, my brother. I'll keep you in prayer, but. You got to make a move. See if you can find a support group. They do have support groups. I know they do here in Tennessee for men. If you can get to a support group, and then that'll start your channel.
I appreciate your offer because it does seem like I'm the one involved in some sort of domestic violence. I'm not married. And for your hostess to give a suggestion about what to do in preparation. If you have like a spare cell phone or something like that, and lock yourself in a room, if you can do it, that's fine. Now, I have been in situations where women dates have been inside my house, pissed me off. I tell them to leave. They don't want to leave. I just throw them out. This is my house. You're not going to tell me you're going to stick around. Hasta la vista. Goodbye. So that's the way I am. You know, no cops were called or anything like that. But I pity men who are married and have to continually be in that kind of relationship. And there should be more outreach programs for men, because the more men get battered, the less trust they have for women, the less suitable they are for relationships, and it travels on down the line where, yeah, you know. Well, in any case, I'll let you get back to your show. Thanks for the for the advice.
Oh, and, we appreciate you calling in.
Amen. Yeah. Because it goes both ways. And it's even relationships with same-sex relationships are going through the same abuse. Mm-hmm. They're going through the same abuse. So, you know, it affects.
Yeah.
Maybe
even worse. There was a show on TV some years ago, and they were talking about lesbians in prison. And if you upset your lesbian girlfriend in prison, you get your head battered. And, you know, they had blood on the walls, and they showed, you know, what would happen. So, yeah, same sex. And I would imagine two gay guys, if they get into an argument, one of them's going to end up being bloody, you know. So that's just the way it is.
That's true.
But I was glad when homosexuals – whoops. Okay. Stole the call. I was glad when homosexuals got the right to be married, because then I said, now we'll know what heterosexuals have been going through all these years.
So you left for no point.
Yes.
Well, I'll let you go. I guess you've only got about 15 minutes left, I presume. So take care and thanks. Good night.
Most definitely.
Good night.
And you're welcome to call in anytime. We enjoyed speaking with you.
All right. Thank you.
Amen.
Good night, man.
All right. Good night. All right. Well, we're going to let the Minister Crenshaw have the last words. And is it anyone else, though, before we do, who have anything on their heart or mind, any questions that you want to come across, please. You can definitely ask those questions. We are here for you. We're just like anybody else. We're here just to talk it over. We want you to get from hiding behind that shame and guilt and fear, and we can come out and we can talk about it. We all sit here at the same table. We can turn this table and talk about it. I also want you to know that I will be getting literature that I will be posting as far as some of the numbers that Minister Crenshaw was giving out. I will be posting those back here in the blog talk, and I also will be posting them on my Facebook page also, Von Dumas. So if you'd like to follow me so you can get that information. If you need a number in another state or something, please reach out and we can go and try to find the resources that you would need. Whatever you do, just remember that you're worth it. You are worth it.
Yes.
And where you're at today doesn't mean that you're going to stay in that position. It's going to look different as you come out of that valley. God has other plans for you, and it is not over yet. So I'm going to turn it over to Minister Crenshaw, and she's going to do the last words here. And then we're going to sing leave on a special song that I want you to know, Jireh. He's enough. He's enough. And I know some of you know that the only way that you have made it this far is because you are just praying your way through it. Or like Minister Crenshaw said, that sometimes she would just kind of fade away and just kind of to come out of that while there's abuse is going on.
Yes.
And so God bless you and keep you informed as far as the next broadcast. We'll definitely do that. And invite your friends to come over. Remember, you can go back and re-listen to this broadcast anytime that you want to. And we they're just getting bigger and bigger. And you have topics that you want us to discuss. Make sure that you leave that information with us, too. And we'll try to jump on that, too. Amen? All right. It's in your hands, Minister.
Praise God. Thank you, Minister Vaughn and Sister Lolita and Sister Shonda. Praise God for all of you all that was here online with us. And thank you for having me as a guest. This domestic violence stuff, it is, although we tried to get it all today, but it's like it goes on and on and on. But it's okay. Mm-hmm. I did share some things with you that all that I pray God that it was something to help you let the chains fall off. Because yeah. there's something about the power of God that breaks every yoke, destroys every yoke, and pulls off the mask and lets you begin to love mm-hmm. yourself. And I know as a victim, the hardest thing was for me to forgive myself and to love myself. And so now mm-hmm. I wear different type of clothing. I love dressing up and looking good every day. I do. Because mm-hmm. it's for me. It's not for nobody else. It's for me. I'm glad my husband loves it, but it's really for me. Amen. And yeah. so the only message that I want to give out to if there's any ministers or pastors that are on the phone is all we want to do when we come to bring awareness inside your congregation is we want to save a life, save a victim, and we'll save a soul. And that is why mm-hmm. we ask for you all to allow us just to come in and just have your congregation aware, because believe it or not, in your congregation, there are many women and some men that is going through the same thing, but they just don't know where to get the help. And so we want to be that resource. We want to be that. And I want you all to just think on what was shared tonight and choose to love. You just choose to love. Love in
spite.
Choose to love. Because when I think about choosing to love, I never thought of love that I chose. But I thought about it when I married my husband. I mm-hmm. was in such a way, I didn't think I would get married again. And I remember praying to God. I said, God, I want to choose to love this man the way mm-hmm. you love me. I want to choose to love him as my husband. So I started choosing to love him, and that made mm-hmm. our relationship flourish and be fruitful, that we're blessings to others. So choose to love, because when you choose to love, it bears much fruit. Amen?
Amen, amen. We have one more person who had a comment here. Let's just get this line open here. And this is for Minister Crenshaw. All right, and your line is open.
Hello, everyone. I'm Minister Vaughn's granddaughter. I just wanted to say, Ms. Crenshaw, thank you so much for your insight and for sharing with us. It's very inspirational, and your advice definitely will stick with me growing up. I'm 23, so that's awesome to hear and take with me in life.
Yes, wonderful. Ma'am. I have a granddaughter that's 23. So that's a blessing, a pleasure. You know, when I hear from young people how they enjoy the word of God coming out of our mouths, because I'm 68, so, you know, sometime my grandchildren hear me and sometime they don't. But it's a blessing to know that that the Lord was a blessing to you tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Anyone else? Well, I want to thank my co-hosts, Sharonda and Lolita. God bless you both. It's really something how God just turns friendships around and just unite us back together. And so we are going to keep you informed. We're excited about continuing with our talks here at Tri-Anointed Women of Christ. And we will keep you informed on what our next topics are about. And Minister Crenshaw, you are welcome anytime. You are a part.
Oh, I'll be back
and
on.
You are... Most definitely, most definitely. Well, we want to first just extend, if anyone does not know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, not somebody that maybe your friend knows or your mom knows, but yourself, when you're in need, can you talk to him? Do you know his word? Do you know what to stand on? If you would like for us to pray with you,
This is such a great opportunity. Today is the day, and we're here and available. Just want to open the lines for everybody's line is open. If anybody would like to come forth, you can. Amen. 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 Well, just know that we love you, but God loves you more. God loves you more. We're going to let the minister pray us out, and then we're going to leave on a song. And until the next time, remember, we are turning the tables with talk. God bless you. If you pray us
God
out.
God bless you. Bless God. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity and this gathering, oh God, to talk about the goodness of you, God, and what you've done and what you're already doing, even now, God. Father God, I pray that every word that I shared on today, God, that it become an invitation for women and men to be restored and know how much you love them, Father, and how much you careth for them, God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that the word that they received on today, God, that it opened up doors, oh God, enlightened them where they were able to see their way out of a bad situation, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to bless them wherever they are, God. Order their steps, Father God. Let your word be a lamp unto their feet, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, cover them, God, until they recover from all situations, God. Father God, I know you to be a God that heals us in every area of our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I ask you to touch right now, God. Let your word go out, O God, and save them, deliver them, heal them. Encourage them, strengthen them, God. Bring them joy in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your peace that passes all understanding, God. I thank you and I give you praise for all that is on this line, God. And to those women of God, try anointing women of God, that they continue in faith, God, that you increase them daily, oh God, with your word, God, that you strengthen them, God, to bring the gospel, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray and do give you praise, glory, and honor, knowing that it cannot be done any other way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you all. We will see you the next time. So just re-enjoy the music, the lyrics here, and let God minister to you as
the I'll
minister.
Never be more loved than I am right. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. I can see so clear what it's all about.
Chosen. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. Bye-bye.